From KUER News in Salt Lake City, I'm Bob Nelson. Today, the San Juan County Commission is to hold a meeting in Navajo Mountain. That's a three-hour drive away from the county seat of Monticello, and it's a big deal because it's only the second time in recent memory the commission has held a meeting on the Navajo Nation. From KUER's Southeast News Bureau, Kate Gretzinger has more.
Holding regular meetings outside of Monticello is one of the most tangible changes enacted by the county's first Navajo Majority Commission. Tribal members Kenneth Maryboy and Willie Gray Eyes were elected to the three-person commission in 2018, and they passed a resolution to hold every third commission meeting away from the county seat last spring. So far, they've held meetings in Monument Valley and Blanding. But County Attorney Kendall Laws has said only special meetings can be held outside of Monticello. That's according to David Everett, who served as interim county manager for part of last year.
When you think about what's the spirit of the law, my guess would be that there's a lot of intent around people having access to those meetings, particularly in a place like San Juan County.
Everett says holding regular meetings outside of Monticello is likely legal and important because of the size of San Juan County. The commission plans to hold four meetings on the Navajo Nation and one in Spanish Valley this year. Kate Gretzinger, KUER News.
Earlier this month, Utah researchers unveiled their plan to help the state fight climate change. They called it the Utah Roadmap and gave suggestions for how to have the greatest impact for the least cost. But as KUER's John Reed reports, scientists say it's a balancing act we don't have time for.
Utah State physicist Rob Davies studies science communication. He thinks about questions like, how can we transform society to avoid destroying the Earth? Because for him and the scientific community, it's no longer about asking if our current economic and energy systems are sustainable.
These systems will not be in existence 4 decades from now. And it's either because they've completely collapsed or because we've transformed them into systems that are sustainable.
He says the roadmap is a step towards sustainability, but its major suggestion to cut emissions doesn't go nearly far enough. He says if we want to avert the most serious impacts of climate change, we'll have to act like it's an emergency, like we did during World War II. The whole country chipped in, sacrificing everything from sugar to gasoline.
We need to be in a position where, as a society, we're ready to say, you know what, okay, I will buy the war bond, I will ration my carbon until the emergency is passed.
He says, though, it's hard to get everyone on board without a galvanizing event like Pearl Harbor. John Reed, KUER News.
It's becoming more common for police to identify suspects using online DNA profiles created by at-home test kits like Ancestry or 23andMe. It's how California police identified the Golden State Killer in 2018. But one Utah lawmaker wants to make it harder for law enforcement to access DNA databases. Republican Representative Craig Hall believes mass searches for public databases is a violation of privacy.
In our belief, it's just a fishing expedition. We don't tolerate a surveillance society just to catch bad guys.
This year, Hall plans to run a bill that would require probable cause in order for police to search DNA information. Deadline day for tax reform referendum petitions to be submitted is today. Tax referendum organizers and volunteers say they plan to submit signed packets early this afternoon at the Salt Lake County building on State Street. At a special session in December, legislators passed SB 2001, a tax reform bill that raises food and fuel taxes, and referendum organizers say takes hundreds of millions away from education. The legislature requires referendum backers to gather nearly 116,000 signatures, divided proportionally among at least 15 of Utah's 29 counties, by today. The petitions will then have to be verified by county authorities. And electric scooters are becoming more popular in cities across the country and throughout the Mountain West. But as Allie Budner reports, a new study shows injuries from e-scooters are skyrocketing.
Electric scooters can be a cheaper, more convenient alternative to getting around in cities. But the explosion of e-scooters over the last several years and the scarcity of regulations around their use has led to a steep increase in hospitalized injuries. The study from the University of California, San Francisco, found that the rate of e-scooter-related injuries in the U.S. more than tripled between 2014 and 2018. It found the injuries were also getting more severe. A third of e-scooter injuries were to the head, which is twice as many that occur with bicycles. That may be because few people wear helmets on these newer devices. The report recommends e-scooter companies encourage helmet use by increasing access to them. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Allie Budner.
And you're listening to KUER News. I'm Bob Nelson.